950 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Alex Perez. Demonstrators are outside Miami federal court where former President Trump will face criminal charges over his handling of classified documents. Security is tight and authorities say they are prepared. ABC's Aaron Katursky is there and has more on the hearing.
Former President Trump is expected to arrive here at Miami federal court and go directly to the 13th floor courtroom for his arraignment. It's expected he will enter a plea of not guilty. After court, Trump will be processed as a criminal defendant. At no time will he be in handcuffs, but he will technically be in FBI custody.
The former president says he will plead not guilty. In Denver, 11 people were injured when gunfire broke out last night. Police say an altercation turned violent in the wake of celebrations for the Denver Nuggets NBA championship win over the Miami Heat. Authorities in central Ukraine say at least 11 are dead following Russian airstrikes targeting Ukrainian President Zelensky's hometown. This is ABC News. A new government report shows inflation may be slowing down. ABC's Jim Ryan has details.
After rising 0.4% in April, the consumer price index ticked up only 0.1% in May. And for the past year, prices are up 4%, which is the smallest 12-month increase since March of 2021. Prices rose last month for housing, used vehicles, and clothing, but they declined for furniture and airfares.
More Americans are hitting the road for summer driving season, but they're paying more to fill up their tanks.
Gas prices are up a bit, mainly due, analysts say, to supply and demand, and that more Americans are hitting the road with school out in much of the country. So in the past week, the Energy Department reports the average price of regular unleaded has gone up about 5 cents to $3.60 a gallon, but that's $1.41 less per gallon than a year ago at this time, or for a 15-gallon tank, $21 less every fill-up, a noticeable difference. The cheapest gas right now is along the Gulf Coast at $3.14 a gallon. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Alex Perez, ABC News.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. As the Wisconsin legislature hurries to pass the state budget, there's a call for state lawmakers to slow down and close the gap between richer and poorer school districts. The budget is expected to boost money for public schools by more than $1 billion under a deal struck by Governor Evers and Republican leaders, but the formula would also leave some districts with lower revenues than others. That's according to John Humphreys. He's the head of the Association for Equity in Funding. He told the State Senate Education Committee yesterday that the deal is a missed opportunity to close funding gaps. Big changes are proposed for Wisconsin's alcohol laws, which take a key step forward today. Brittany Merlot reports.
The bill affects every level of Wisconsin's alcohol industry. Wisconsin's current alcohol regulations have been criticized for years for not keeping up with the times. Among other things, the bill would require event venues like wedding barns to get a permit or alcohol license. Brewers, winemakers, and distillers without tap rooms could run their own retail stores. Wineries could open earlier and close later. The bill gets a committee hearing today and is on the fast track to pass in a few days.
At Civic Media's Brittany Merlot. Budget-writing state lawmakers are set to vote on University of Wisconsin system spending today. The system's president wants an 8% budget increase on top of the 4% tuition hike that Regents approved this spring. The Joint Finance Committee has already turned down a request for a new engineering building on the Madison campus. Grassroots Republicans and party leaders gather this weekend for the Wisconsin GOP convention in La Crosse. Luke Mathers has a preview.
Republicans are looking to beat President Biden and U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin at the polls next year. The GOP doesn't have a candidate yet, but activists say she can be beaten. Mark Jefferson is executive director of the Wisconsin Republican Party.
She's running on a ticket with a very unpopular president right now. She can really not point to any things where she's taken on either the president or her own party on any issues of real substance. And people aren't very happy right now with the way the country's being run.
Observers say Republicans' opposition to abortion cost conservatives the majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court in April. Jefferson says it's too soon to know how the issue will play out in next year's campaigns.
We don't know the landscape yet. Will the state Supreme Court take up the issue? Will we be, instead of debating a law from the 1850s, will we be debating no restrictions whatsoever? All of those things have yet to show themselves.
Jefferson is this week's guest on Newsmakers on the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network.
That's Civic Media's Luke Mathers reporting. A former Republican state senator is working to build trust in Wisconsin's election system. Kathy Bernier is head of the Wisconsin operations for a nationwide group called Keep Our Republic. She's teaching local leaders like sheriffs and ministers about the election system so they can let others know how well it works.
People don't understand thoroughly, unless you're a clerk, a county clerk or a municipal clerk, all of the processes and procedures, the checks and balances, and the fact that Wisconsin's electoral system is all backed up on paper.
Bernier herself is a former local elections clerk. She was on WISN-TV's Upfront program Sunday. Well, it's not too early to start thinking about winter heating bills. Governor Evers says today the state will use nearly $50 million for heating assistance to more than 170,000 low-income Wisconsin households next winter. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell. Civic Media News Time is 12:07.
For Civic Media News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know in Northeast Wisconsin. A 26-year-old armed Green Bay man was arrested early Tuesday morning outside the Blackstone Family Restaurant. Authorities, including a crisis management team and SWAT, were dispatched around 1:45 a.m. to the restaurant on the city's west side. Police say the man made threats at another business outside the city limits. The man was taken into custody without incident shortly after 3 a.m. The investigation is ongoing. A Marinette County woman will not be charged in the shooting death of her husband, according to the Marinette County District Attorney. Lori Freed shot her husband on May 29th after a domestic incident. Authorities say the shooting was tragic but justified under Wisconsin law. Green Bay schools face a number of issues, many of which were discussed at last night's school board meeting. Civic Media's Brittany Merlot has more.
The Green Bay Area Public School District's Board of Education met yesterday to discuss challenges that face the district in the near future, including staffing costs and declining enrollment. One of the big decisions was the board agreeing to hire a firm from outside of the district to assess school boundaries. Green Bay Public Schools haven't changed boundary lines in over 20 years. According to School Board President Laura McCoy, hiring a third party will give board members an unbiased assessment when it comes to redrawing lines and closing schools. Parents from Wickwiock Elementary School attended the meeting to plead their case. The board voted to proceed with plans to close Wickwiock last week. The board was also presented with a preliminary budget for the coming school year. The district faces a $20 million deficit over the next 2 years.
Four northeastern Wisconsin counties are in the top 10 for tourism and spending in the state. Brown County was ranked 5th, Outagamie was ranked 7th, Door County 8th, and Winnebago County 9th. According to the Green Bay Press-Gazette, reasons for the increase in visits to the area include the Packers, youth sports, lodging and dining, as well as the state's Lake Michigan shorelines. The area saw an overall spending of $1.6 billion. I'm Pete Schwabe for Civic Media News.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Rain, rain, go away, come back another... Wait, no, we need this rain. 89% of the state is still in drought conditions, so finally picking up a quarter of an inch so far today is great news. With the eastern portion of the state to continue receiving showers throughout the rest of today, another quarter of an inch is likely, while the Fox Valley may see another half an inch of rain. Well, where is the sunshine? Western Wisconsin is holding on to it for us, and the warmer temperatures too. Towns near the Mississippi Valley are expected to hit highs in the 80s. Meanwhile, the rest of the state stays cloudy, crisp, and rain-cooled, in the upper 50s to mid-60s. By tomorrow, the sunshine will start to take over again and raise temperatures back up to the low to mid 80s, with free AC provided by Lake Michigan, keeping you into the upper 60s and mid 70s. Have a terrific Tuesday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers hope to bounce back in the Twin Cities. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a series tonight in Minneapolis against the Twins. Minnesota is still in first place in their division despite losing six of their last eight games, including a 7-6 loss in Toronto after Twins batter Alex Kirilloff was charged with an automatic strike. Twins manager Rocco Baldelli.
He looked down for a split second, but he was looking at the pitcher when the clock said eight. I think it's a bold call. I can't agree with that, and I think the Blue Jays are walking off the field thinking they got away with something.
Milwaukee trying to turn things around after being swept by the Oakland A's at home over the weekend. The A's have now won six in a row after beating the Tampa Bay Rays last night 4-3. Brewers bench coach Pat Murphy.
Those players have stepped up and played good baseball in the last 10 days, and it's not a fluke. You know what I mean? They play hard, and their offense is together, and the pitching staff did a great job. I think you credit them. No, it doesn't ignore the fact that we're hobbling in so many ways.
NFL, Green Bay, one of 21 teams to hold mandatory minicamps this week. The Packers looking for someone to replace Adrian Amos at safety. Defensive coordinator Joe Barry.
When you have a vacancy, especially with a starting spot, and you have a number of guys that are in competition for that, you know, I think the biggest thing that I'd look for as a coach when you're deciding that is just the overall consistency every single day. And obviously then you got to get into, you know, doing your job and making plays and being productive. But it starts with, you know, just being a consistent guy every single day to be one of those starting 11.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers continue to add offensive lineman. Colin Coverley is a 6'6" offensive tackle from New York. He's committed to the Badgers despite an upcoming meeting scheduled with Pitt. 14 players have now committed to play for the Badgers under new head coach Luke Fickell. NBA, the Nuggets held on to take Game 5 with a 94-89 win over the Miami Heat in Denver, winning their first championship title in franchise history 4-1. What's next? Nuggets head coach Michael Malone.
Many years ago, I used to have it up on my board when I was a head coach in Sacramento, and I talked about the evolution in this game and how you go from a nobody to an upstart, and you go from an upstart to a winner, and a winner to a contender, and a contender to a champion. And the last step is after you're a champion is to be a dynasty. So we're not satisfied. We accomplished something this franchise has never done before, but we have a lot of young, talented players in that locker room. And I think we just showed through 16 playoff wins what we're capable of on the biggest stage in the world.
Nikola Jokic named the finals MVP.
It's a great journey. I think we played the best basketball. But to be honest, I don't think about the next year. I'm going to ask the coach to give me a couple of weeks more off so I can be ready for the season. That's supposed to be a joke, and you didn't laugh. Good job, guys.
That's the Nuggets, Nikola Jokic. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Have you Googled yourself lately? Are there negative posts from an ex-employee or from a former client? Maybe an outdated news article or sensitive personal information about your family? Search engines don't always get it right. For right or wrong, it's your reputation on the line. That's where Reputation Defender by Norton comes in. One of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. Reputation Defender has been fixing people's search results for over 15 years. Their cutting-edge approaches help you to wipe away unwanted information in your search results. They also promote the good stuff, so that it rises to the top, helping you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. Take control with Reputation Defender. You can start by getting your free reputation report card at reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 to speak to an expert. That's 800-401-6681.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies this afternoon with scattered rain showers likely. Daytime highs approaching 59. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight, chance for scattered rain showers, 54. Cloudy skies again tomorrow, slight chance for scattered thunderstorms, daytime highs approaching 74. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Thursday, high temperatures reach up to 69. 73, ample sunshine expected Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now,
the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Trading Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution, and I'm joined by the squad today. We got Luke, Todd, and Aaron. How are we all doing today, everybody?
What up?
Let's all talk at once.
I knew to wait back so that I did not join in on that. But yeah, welcome and happy to be with you, Will. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday indeed, though. Carrying on our conversation a little bit from yesterday, I am not so much a fan of this weather. I know Luke's going to yell at me for that after the fact, but I will have to say it. It is cold and it is rainy, and I have a sweatshirt on in June, and I do not like it.
Whatever, man. You're picking the weirdest things. Folks, today we're going to talk public transportation. That's what public transit and getting around from, place to place off of either a bus, a train, whatever form of public transit. If you want to share what public transportation means to you, we want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. It's on the mind because it's part of the shared revenue discussions. It's part of what's current events right now in several different cities around the state of Wisconsin. And we're excited to talk about what public transportation means to you. Again, the number to call or text, 844-967-2789. Now, Will, where you in your neck of the woods, you don't have a whole lot of public transportation. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is accurate. I don't have any public transportation that I can think of. When I'm able to get down to the city, of course, that's my go-to. I would much prefer to hop on the bus or use the hop, particularly during the Bucks championship run a few years ago. I was on the hop constantly, which was a fun, riveting experience for me as someone who doesn't have public transportation in my community. But, it's really unfortunate. You compare it to, we see on, I hate to be that chronically online guy, but I see a lot of comparisons to, European cities, how nice it is to be able to do whatever you want on a daily basis without relying on a personal vehicle. Obviously, the United States, just from a landmass perspective, is significantly larger, but boy, that'd be rowdy. I can't lie. That looks like a lot of fun.
You don't even have to go to Europe, though. You can go to an East Coast city like Philadelphia, Boston, New York, D.C. They all have excellent public transportation, in my opinion. I love riding. When I travel, that's what I go to. Seattle is working on it's not light rail, but it's kind of light rail-esque. It's what I use when I fly to Denver.
Light rail light, would you say?
Yeah, light rail light. That's a good way to put it. LITE, the second one. But it is something that I try to use every time I go to cities and I'm traveling. And it's something that we almost had here in Wisconsin. And somebody with a front row perspective on that, of why there is not high-speed rail between Milwaukee, Madison, and Twin Cities in Chicago, is Mr. Todd Alba. Todd, what does public transportation mean to you?
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate you coming on as someone who has lived with this and pretty authoritative on it. Growing up in Richland Center out in southwest Wisconsin, we did have public transportation. It was the back of a 1976 Dodge Ram. We kind of all got in there and drove around. And also the Amish buggy would stop by occasionally and get a free ride on that. So, we had public transportation.
Have you seriously ever ridden in the back of an Amish buggy?
No.
Okay.
I have like been, there's a lot of Amish out there. And so yeah. I know a lot, but I honestly, now I rode on my granddad's hay wagon. I used to bale hay. That's true.
There you go.
But no, as a former Republican, when this was a really hot issue mm-hmm. back in the, you know, 2010-ish time there mm-hmm. And before.
I stand those bumper stickers of I'd rather be riding on high-speed rail when you right. see them on that stretch of 94 between Madison and,
oh, yeah.
and those are terrific. Those
are
good bumper stickers.
I was kind of I've always been an oddball. That's nothing new to you guys and people that know me. But even before I left the Republican Party in 2011, I was an odd duck out on the Republican side because even when I was still part of the Republican Party, I was pro public transportation, largely, Luke, for the reason that you said, because when I worked for now former Congressman Scott Klug, who represented the 2nd District here in Madison in South Central Wisconsin, I spent time in D.C. Mm-hmm. I fell in love with the D.C. Metro.
Yeah.
Clean, efficient, constantly, you know,
reliable.
I thought it was fantastic. And then also I've spent a little bit of time out in Seattle, again, using their transit system. Also, they have ferries that will take you around mm-hmm. as well.
I mean,
beautiful.
Ferries are, yeah.
Reliable. So I tend to be a especially trains. Now, the Madison here in Madison, they just got redoing, I guess, the bus routes or whatever. My problem with the Madison Transit, the bus system, is that, especially when I lived in the west side and worked downtown, if you missed a bus, it was like an hour and 45 minutes until the next one. So it's like, well, if you got delayed at work and, you know, they're in the political business, there's no real clock. And so it's like you couldn't really rely on it. But I think trains are absolutely reliable. And so I was absolutely ticked off to clean it up for radio when Walker decided to come in. This is a pattern, you understand? This is a pattern of Republicans. When you get free money from the federal government to improve your state, they reject it on political to score political points. And all it does is hurt the citizens you're trying to represent. It would have made an economic difference for Madison and South Central Wisconsin, and quite frankly, Milwaukee had high-speed transit mm-hmm. come to Wisconsin. So it's super unfortunate, and Wisconsin is still paying a price.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Todd. This is Town Call. If you would like to participate in our talk on public transit, give us a call, 844-967-2789. Todd, I got a fun little story for you, and I'm not going to name drop, but we have covered this in the past. Luke and I have talked about it. An elected official that represents me, I went to their town hall a few years ago, and they were discussing exactly that. Federal money that had been offered to the state of Wisconsin, this individual rejected it, and I basically said, you know, what's wrong with you? You had the opportunity to improve your community, to fix the roads, to fix the infrastructure, to do things that would help the people you represent, and you chose not to. Why? And the comparison he gave to me was that federal funds were like drugs. He used a very specific drug where once somebody gets hooked, they become reliant on it. They're dependent on it. And I don't want the people that I represent to be dependent on federal money, because at some point it's going to dry up and then they're going to be angry at me. And I'm just like, holy yeah. moly, this is a deep-seated issue. I don't know how we're going to get past this.
It's a pattern. It's a narrative, right? And it's right out of the Republican playbook. When you don't agree with something, you use these cliche narratives like you just gave a perfect example for. And they say, oh, this is bad. We're going to get hooked. This whole sense of, oh, you got to be reliant and self-reliant, whether you're an individual or whether you're a state. Except when Foxconn comes calling with a lot of foreign money. Except when the Chinese come calling in northern Wisconsin. Then you go ahead, as Scott Walker and the Republicans did, and change the environmental laws for generations in northern Wisconsin. It will affect the entire state. And how many jobs did that create up in the mines up in Wisconsin? Said, thousands of jobs. Let's take a look here. What's the paper? Zero. Turns out zero jobs up in northern Wisconsin.
A lot of paper shuffle yeah. real quick to find that number zero.
Zero. And meanwhile, the environmental laws in the state have been gutted. The Native American tribes were absolutely ignored, and their sovereignty and what those rice fields do, the religious rice fields in northern Wisconsin mm-hmm. that rely on unclean water. So the point is, that you make a great point, that Republicans have this narrative that's nothing more than made-up fiction in order to appease their base at the expense of the majority of Wisconsin taxpayers.
I think this conversation goes beyond politics, though, because I don't know if it's just a Republican versus Democrat for public transit. I think there are plenty of Wisconsinites that love their cars as well. Sure. And if you fall in that vein, we want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter, joined by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show, across the Civic Media Network from 1 to 3 p.m. every single afternoon, talking what public transportation means to you. It is, again, in the headlines because we see stipulations going to the city and county of Milwaukee about how they will be able to receive the changes to the shared revenue formula. Milwaukee also has a new bus rapid transit route that is going east to west, hopefully making it more frequently and reliable to get across the city of Milwaukee. We're going to dive into a story about that from our friend Dan Schaefer over the recombobulation area coming up. Madison, as you alluded to, Todd, is revamping their entire bus system. It changed yesterday, so we want to know what public transportation means to you. 844-967-2789. Are you somebody that loves driving in the car? Are you somebody that wishes you could jump into a train and head over to Milwaukee or up to the Twin Cities or Chicago? We want to hear from you. 844-967-2789 here on Town Call. But Will, I mean, even in your neck of the woods, one of the greatest things growing up from the Milwaukee area myself, the freeway flyers. It was the easiest way to get to and from Summerfest, State Fair, all of the excellent festivals that the city of Milwaukee is known for. That's gone to the wayside because we haven't had the investments in public transportation. There are fewer routes. There's fewer options when it comes to things like that. That's something I feel like the suburbs loved. You don't want to have to, you know, try to get behind the wheel after Summerfest. Isn't it so much better to just be able to hop into the car or hop into the bus instead of a car and drive back to the park and ride and have somebody pick you up there? Like, that's ideal Summerfest conditions for me.
We pride ourselves, Americans pride themselves on individualism, right? We want to be able to take care of ourselves. We don't want to have to rely on anybody else. The example you just provided, you come back to the park and ride, you need somebody else to pick you up. No, that's not the American way. We're going to do it ourselves. Now, I am going to take something that you noted on how Americans love their cars and love like the freedom of driving. I do know a lot of people like that. And that aspect I completely understand, particularly with so much of our daily lives, you're just bombarded with constant information, nonstop advertisements. You got work on the mind, you got family on the mind, whatever. So maybe the car ride home is the only peaceful 5 to 10 to 15 minutes, depending on how far you live away from your job, time you have to yourself on a daily basis where you don't have to worry about anybody else. It's just you and your thoughts. Perhaps you are still listening to the.
I hope you're worrying about the other drivers, though, because there's other drivers out there that you should absolutely be concerned with, and it's not just your world. Be mindful of the road, please, folks.
Of course, Luke. I should say that goes without saying, but it does need to be said, unfortunately. And having the freedom to go and do what you want when you want without having to rely on a schedule, as incredibly reliable as some of our public transportation options are, I do think that there are a lot of Americans that would be really upset if they had to kind of lose that ability.
Yeah, and so we want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear what your stance is on public transportation. 844-967-2789. As I alluded to, a new article over at the Recombobulation area, our friend of the show, Dan Schaefer, writing that up about what bus rapid transit is going to mean for the city and county of Milwaukee. And coming up, we got an inside of what happened with that deal to reject those federal funds when it came to high-speed rail here in Wisconsin. Mr. Todd Alba having a little bit of the insider's perspective when it comes to that. So if you've got questions for him, 844-967-2789 here on Town Call. We want you to be the star of the show.
Here's one quick thing I'll say, guys. From a Republican standpoint, not a Republican standpoint, but just in Madison, one question that has not been asked or answered too often of our mayor here, Satcher Oates Conway, is one-time money versus ongoing financing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this stuff in Madison with the rapid transit, it's being funded by one-time federal funds. But who pays for it ongoing? That's a legit question.
Yeah, those are the hard budget questions we'll be discussing as well. 844-967-2789. We want to hear your thoughts on public transit. This is Town Call. I'm Luke. He's Will. Joined by Todd. We'll be right back. He's going to sit by you. Another one rides the bus.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Alex Perez. Former President Trump set to arrive at Miami federal court to face criminal charges over his handling of classified materials. Miami police say they are prepared to handle demonstrators outside the court. ABC News contributor and former Homeland Acting Undersecretary John Cohen says
law enforcement around the country is also concerned about content being placed online on extremist forums calling for acts of violence in response to the president's indictment. So they'll be on watch for that as well.
The former president says he will plead not guilty. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is in Philadelphia following the collapse of a section of I-95. He's pledging federal funds to help repair the critical roadway after a tanker fire caused the section to fail. The damage and extensive delay to repair are impacting the supply chain. At least 100 people are dead in Nigeria after a boat carrying wedding attendees capsized overnight. This is ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know in Northeast Wisconsin. A 26-year-old armed Green Bay man was arrested early Tuesday morning outside the Blackstone Family Restaurant. Authorities, including a crisis management team and SWAT, were dispatched around 1:45 a.m. to the restaurant on the city's west side. Police say the man made threats at another business outside the city limits. The man was taken into custody without incident shortly after 3 a.m. The investigation is ongoing. Four northeastern Wisconsin counties are in the top 10 for tourism and spending in the state. Brown County was ranked 5th, Outagamie 7th, Door County ranked 8th, and Winnebago ranked 9th. According to the Green Bay Press-Gazette, the reasons for the increase in visits to the area include the Packers, youth sports, lodging and dining, as well as the state's Lake Michigan shorelines. The area saw overall spending of $1.6 billion. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
More than 130,000 car accidents occur in Wisconsin each year. If you're in an accident and experience any injuries or losses caused by another, you may be entitled to compensation. Gingras Thompson & Walks has over 35 years of experience in handling car accident cases. Their team of personal injury attorneys is dedicated to helping you get the justice you deserve.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, BOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's BOGO. 608-949-8989.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo! Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. Today we're talking public transportation. I want to hear what public transport means to you, or I want to hear why you very much enjoy the freedom of the road to have to go where you want, do what you want with your private vehicle. I'm joined today, of course, by Luke Mathers and Mr. Todd Alba with Aaron on the board. Gentlemen, public transit. Todd, I hear you have some fun behind-the-scenes stories on why Wisconsin was forced to reject some of the public funding that we had made available to us from the federal government. and why we are in this dire situation today.
Well, forced is a strong word. I think it was certainly a choice by the Republican side, and not that I was, in all the secret meeting rooms or anything, but, at least was around at that time. And in my opinion, based on what I do know, it simply came down to a fact that the Walker administration, Republicans, did not want to give President Obama at the time and the Democrats a quote-unquote political win. That would have been a big feather in the cap of Democrats, a Democratic president, to say that they helped federal money come to Wisconsin to give us high-speed rail. It would have been a big deal. And you had the 2012 elections approaching, and they didn't want to give Obama that feather in his cap. Also, I think that there was some fundraising on the Republican side going on. You have people like Diane Hendricks, the big builder from down in Rock County, giving millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars and third-party dark money to the Republicans. And also, let's face it, road builders are a big part of Wisconsin Republican fundraising, and high-speed rail and public transportation is not necessarily friendly to road builders. So that's some of the things that were behind the scenes at play. I do think that this question of one-time money versus ongoing financing is legit. I'm not sure if at the time those questions were thought out. And also, quite frankly, if you think about it, if you're going from a Republican side, if you allow federal money to come in and help with mass transit, public transportation in the urban areas of Wisconsin, that in theory should free up more money for town roads and more shared revenue going to rural transportation and help out their constituencies back in rural Wisconsin.
It sounds like it was just playing politics then.
That's a very succinct way to say it. You're absolutely right.
That's unfortunate. The lives of Wisconsin citizens be darned.
Yeah.
We have to prevent a political win for our opposition.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. It's been going on since God was a boy on both sides from time to time. But yeah, in this case, when it comes to public transportation, I think that to blame it on, we just don't want to take real money and have this dependency, quote unquote, on real money. You guys are smart enough. I mean, I'm sure many of our callers are as well. Yeah, I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but the last time I checked, which was like 2 weeks or 2 months ago, some of the highest counties and states that take in federal money are Alabama, Mississippi, Kentucky, and Tennessee. Some of the reddest Trump states in America that rely on federal dollars to subsidize their states and their communities because they're so poor. And so it's completely disingenuous for Republicans to say we don't want to rely on federal money when it's the red states who are relying on it the most.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic there when it comes to who is and for what issues are accepting federal funds acceptable to a political party. We want to hear your thoughts on public transportation. 844-967-2789. If you're using the new system for the buses here in Madison, if you are using the new bus rapid transit in Milwaukee, we want to hear your thoughts. One of the stops, a brief 12-minute walk away from, I was going to call it Miller Park, but American Family Field for the Brewers. So if you're in Milwaukee and you want a reliable transportation method to get to and from the games, you can do so, and you can listen to the Brewers here on Civic Media on WISS Oshkosh Air Support in the Fox Valley, as well as WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center. We're giving away Brewers tickets all summer long, so you want to be tuned in to your Civic Media programming to be able to have the opportunity to win those tickets. But Todd, I think it's also an interesting dynamic of the fact that, as you mentioned, the what played out around high-speed rail in Wisconsin, for whether or not the Republican administration at the time, the Walker administration, was going to accept those federal funds, they played politics. Now it seems like the Republican leaders in the Wisconsin legislature seem to be playing politics around public transportation again, now in this upcoming biennial budget, because the strings that are attached for the city and county of Milwaukee to be able to receive the shared revenue changes that those communities drastically need, their strings attached are surrounding the hop and local public transit in Milwaukee. Is this just something that's destined to repeat itself? Is it going to just continue to be a political football, so to say? Or what are your thoughts on how we move beyond these conversations and be able to invest in public transit so that communities can prosper?
I think it's a little bit of apples and oranges there, Luke and Will, because in 2010, 2011, that's when Republicans controlled everything, right? They had control of the governorship, they had control of the assembly, they had control of the Senate. They ruled the roost. They made all those decisions. And now we're in a situation in Wisconsin, like we are in Washington, where we have split government, where you have Tony Evers on the Democratic side and the legislature is firmly in control of the Republicans, short only two votes in the assembly of a supermajority of both houses. So, I was having this conversation with somebody else recently. I think that Governor Evers he's in a tight spot. I mean, you don't want to see Milwaukee fail. And so to say that you're going to get everything Milwaukee and Milwaukee County wants and to stay on that ground, I don't know. I wasn't in the room. I mean, Tony, I have to trust that Governor Evers knows this better than anybody else. I have been in private rooms with Robin Voss negotiating with my former boss. And, I'm still in therapy over that. It's one of those situations where I could totally see that Republicans are just going to say, if that's where you want to go, Governor, if that's your bottom line, then we'll just walk away. Because remember, in Wisconsin, unlike D.C. on the national side, if Wisconsin doesn't pass a budget and the governor sign it by the end of the fiscal year in July, the funding just continues on at the previous budget's level. So you can theoretically go another 2 years without technically passing a budget in Wisconsin, and government continues on. Now, certain projects that are in this year's budget might fail or might not be able to be done, but government won't shut down. And not being in the room, my assumption is the governor made the best deal he thought he could. He at least got to a point where it's going to allow local elected officials in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County to vote on raising taxes locally. I have to trust the governor that's the best deal he could get, but it's certainly going to come at a price, and certainly not everybody got what they wanted.
Yeah, and the strings attached to the public transportation aspects are just an interesting aspect of the negotiations surrounding. We want to know what public transportation means to you. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. And Will, it seems to me that really when it comes down to it is the options are good. Having the ability to ride public transportation is a net benefit, and it is a aspect that can be invested in these communities and something that, if you, as Todd noted, have a reliable form of it and you can use consistently, it's an excellent mode of transportation for individuals to use.
I can't think of any other industry that, again, Americans, we love freedom of choice, freedom of opportunity. If you want to ride public transit, you can. If you want to travel privately, you can. I can't think of anything else where elected officials tend to oppose offering additional opportunities to the individual, unless it's something that they personally benefit from. If we were to talk monopolization of certain industries, which Todd did cover, that a lot of the big donors to a lot of elected officials are builders, people that have a financial interest in keeping cars on the road and keeping as many cars on the road as possible. We're going to go to the phone lines. We have John from Sheboygan. John, what are your thoughts on public transportation?
Hey, so I just wanted to say I lived in San Francisco for 3 years, like the Bay Area, and there's a point out there I didn't even have a car. I lived in the Outer Sunset District. I would go out to the curb with my hockey gear, not on, in a bag, but I would.
That would dull the skates real quick, John, if you were wearing the skates out to the curb.
Yeah, no, we don't do that as hockey players. Skate guard. I would take the bus to the Balboa Park, jump on the Muni rail car, which would take me down the Embarcadero. I jump on BART. BART would take me under the bay in a tunnel, under the water, drop me off right outside of the Oakland hockey arena, and I'd play hockey out there. Take it on the way back and the way home. It was great. It was awesome. So that's just my anecdotal two cents.
And John, do you?
Go ahead, Luke. Nope, you go. I'm referring to you.
John, I'm curious. Are you satisfied with public transportation options that are offered to you in Sheboygan? Or do you believe the community is leaving you wishing for more when it comes to public transportation?
I actually live in Baraboo. I'm just commuting all over the God's green earth right now and just, you know, getting everything in a company vehicle, I guess. So, you know, that's, you know, one thing, you know, my company supplies company vehicles. They supply company fuel for, you know, moving goods and services around the state. That's a plus. But I think if we could, I think it'd be really beneficial if we could, you know, have everybody take public transit to the shop, you know, grab their vehicle from the shop and then go from there rather than, you know, to and from everywhere. So, you know.
So the community of Baraboo, though, leaving you wanting more when it comes to public transportation. If that's where you reside? Yeah.
Hey, John, I grew up out near you as well. I'm from Richland Center, so Southwest Wisconsin as well. How do you feel about, you know, years ago, they ripped up most or many of the rail lines in Southwest Wisconsin and put in the rails to trails. And that's great for hiking and ATVing and all that kind of stuff. But it really negated the opportunity to move passenger rail out further from Madison. Think about this. The 4-lane highway down to Sauk City, you can get to Madison or at least Middleton to Sauk City in 16 minutes. I mean, think about having a rail service from Middleton or Madison out to Baraboo or Sauk City, which has essentially become a bedroom community of Madison.
I mean, that would be ideal. There's a lot more space. There's a lot more property to support that outside of the city. But I mean, why can't we have a rail car that goes right down the center of the Beltline? That would cut that Beltline traffic in half instead of adding express lane here and shoulder there. I really think it isn't that hard to think outside the box when it comes to public transit. It just boils down to being political.
Well, I think it boils down to having elected officials that have the creativity to come up with some of those systems as well, because as the excellent reporting over the recombobulation area points to time and time again, Dan Schaefer likes to note it is a lack of creativity when it comes to these public policies that kind of leads us wanting a little bit more as a community. We want to hear your thoughts here on Town Call for public transportation. 844-967-2789. You can be like John in Sheboygan, or you can be like Matt in Middleton. Matt, what are your thoughts on public transit?
Hey, guys. Thanks for what you do. Having been in Europe, I've been to Berlin, I've been in Asia, I've ridden the Eurorail. You can go to multiple countries in one day. America needs to wake up and realize we're behind the ball on a lot of stuff. We're basically run on profit and fossil fuels. You know, everyone's forced to have a car. Scott Walker messed up Wisconsin big time. A lot of people lost out on that failed rail development. It just sucks. We're controlled by fossil fuels. The people have no options, really. We're all forced to own cars, even though a lot of us would rather not have cars. The cars are getting more expensive to maintain, more complicated. It's also a disaster waiting to happen because we're running out of people who can fix combustion engine cars. You know, young people aren't learning to work on them anymore.
That's a really good point,
we're
going to
be
Matt.
Stuck with them for, yeah.
Matt, we'll get right back to you after the break. We got a hard break coming up. This is Town Call. If you'd like to participate in our talk on public transit, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'll see you shortly.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, BOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's BOGO. 608-949-8989.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924. The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered rain showers likely this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies. Highs around 59. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast tonight. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows around 54. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered storms. Highs around 74. Highs level off around 69 Thursday with a chance for scattered storms. 73, sunny skies and calm Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now,
this summer, it's 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude.
6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show
on WGBW.
Welcome all. Welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. Joined today by Luke Mathers, Todd Alba, and we got Aaron on the board. We're talking public transit. What does it mean to you? I'd like to go to the phone lines. Bill from South Milwaukee. Bill, what are your thoughts on public transit?
Well, thank you. First of all, one thing I find that was hilarious a few years ago, you know, Scott Walker having done all he could to oppose any kind of transit. Late in his administration, they began running this campaign, ad campaign in the Chicago area, targeting millennials to get them to move back to Wisconsin because we didn't have enough people apparently for jobs. And you know where they ran those ads? They ran them at transit stations and commuter rail stops. And one of the biggest reasons that people in that age group like to go to a place like Chicago or the Twin Cities is that there is transit as an option. You aren't forced to own a car. So I guess their pitch was, yeah, but come move to Waukesha County and you have to drive a car everywhere, which is precisely what they didn't want.
The irony, right, of course, that they knew that demographic. They knew where to post this advertisement, and they were basically saying, yeah, come where we don't have any of this offer. That's an excellent point, Bill.
Exactly. I would also add one point where you were noting about the lack, like, the, for example, the disappearance of freeway flyers buses in Milwaukee, too. Number one, my stepdaughter is furious about that because she works downtown and a freeway flyer would have been perfect for her. And instead, because she has to take a regular city bus, it takes a lot more time. She is also, and also on that, about the disappearance of the flyers and that, I think what's happened is because they've been cutting back on financing for the bus system, it's been case kind of like basically forced to be a bare bones type. The attitude from the Republicans is basically, well, we really wish we didn't have to, but we suppose we have to, but it's going to be like the transportation equivalent of public housing. It's only for those who have no other options, and we'll make it as unattractive as possible. And on a happier note, next year, when we're talking about not having those things, at least there is a branch from the Hop Line that will take you down to the lakefront near Summerfest that next year should be ready maybe by next year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the options are available. Something, so, you know, we've heard a lot of support for the public transit. I guess I'd like to pose a question to the audience as to why those who are against public transit, what scares you the most about it? You know, in my mind, I'm imagining that people are hearing that it's complicated. I have to jump from bus A to bus B to bus C for a 10-minute travel. And I'm not saying that, you know, people are lazy. I'm just saying that they might hear this and be turned off. What do you think?
Let me add one other point on that. We talk of, you know, when Scott Walker sold the whole thing about opposing the train, it was between Milwaukee and Madison. Actually, would have gone all the way to the Twin Cities, but he never mentioned that part of it. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that these rural areas, that is, well, why should we pay for transit in Milwaukee and Madison? To which I would reply, obviously, anytime some soccer mom in Waukesha County gasses up her minivan, she is helping pay for roads in these sparsely populated counties in northern Wisconsin that have a lot of roads, but they don't have that many people living there. And so you need the gas tax revenue from people in places, you know, that have more people in order to pay for them, but they don't seem to like the reverse.
Yeah,
benefits for me, not for thee.
Well, and the old—I mean, I have no children in the public school system right now, but my tax dollars still go to. There's tons of different ways where that's applicable. It's not the need to see a finite exchange from how you pay your taxes to what services are provided then by any level of government, whether it be local, state, or federal. It is an interesting dynamic sometimes when it comes into the discussions of projects like public transportation. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789 on public transit. If you got them, share them with us in these final minutes of Town Call today. We want to hear 844-967-2789. But Will, I feel like it. The hurdles that you would have to overcome for public transit, like knowing where the transfer points are, knowing the timing schedule for different routes, not all that different from knowing what the flow of traffic is in cars when it comes to driving in the city that you're driving in at the same time. I know which areas to avoid driving around Madison at certain times of the day. That's something that you have to get in routine of. You just have to have that knowledge. And so I don't think there's that much difference between the work that it does so that you don't sit in traffic, the same that you would have to put into learning transfer points. So I don't necessarily see that as a hurdle. It just has to be that the communities that are offering these public transit routes, like Madison is doing right now, like Milwaukee is doing right now with these changes to the bus systems, you have to advertise the changes. You have to let people know where they can find that information and lower those barriers. But there's barriers of all forms of transportation.
I think it's an experience hurdle. Aaron made a great point earlier that people need to be more educated on what is required. They hear all of these different steps and, you know, perhaps they're scared that it just sounds like it's overwhelming. Oh, I have so many different things to do. But as we touched on earlier, once you do it, once you experience this trip for the first time and realize how efficient it was, how easy it was, how much money you saved, you didn't have to worry about having a personal vehicle, then all of a sudden it's, oh, wow, why was I afraid of this? I should have just been doing this from the get-go. It's just having the confidence to do it that one time and recognize, oh, I am able to do this. And we see this a lot, particularly with young people. I hear this a lot in you know, my neck of the woods, that something comes up, and I don't have a direct example right now, but maybe you have to do X, Y, and Z, or I'll even use the internet joke about the 18-year-old who has to call the doctor to set up their first doctor's appointment without their mother doing it or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just sounds complicated and they're worried and they're like, oh no, how am I going to do this? And then the mom is like, honey, you're an adult. You need to do this. So they call the doctor. Hello, I'd like to set up an appointment. Thank you. When is your availability? Okay, tomorrow at 3:00. I'll see you then. Oh, what a relief. That's a load off my chest. That was so easy. There are a million different examples of that in modern American society. I think this is a prime one. I see Todd laughing. Todd, it tells me you might have an experience with that in your past, huh?
Well, I was going to say, can we just be honest for a second? Madison is a mess right now. I mean, it would be faster to take a horse across town than to drive and or take a bus.
But
I mean,
all this construction,
but it's all being done at the same time.
It could be alleviated by public transit.
No, it's being caused by public transit right now with the installation of this mass rapid transit, or whatever it's called, all being done at the same time. And let's be honest as well, for Toddy drives a beautiful, nice, convenient Dodge Ram 1500.
Way too large of a vehicle for the road.
I'm not going to lie about that. I'm not going to lie about it. I enjoy my Dodge Ram. But if there was reliable, convenient, on-time mass transit, I'd take that.
Yeah, and so I think it'll take a lot. It'll take having these conversations. It'll take having the discussions with your public officials on why public transportation is important to you. We really appreciate you tuning in to Town Call today. It's been an excellent edition. If you missed any portion of it, go check out the podcast. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. And we'll be back for Town Call tomorrow at 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.